Hi, it's Bob from Royal Spa. Soaking in a hot tub full of Epsom salts is the absolute best way to minimize everyday aches and pains. And we know all about Epsom salts at Royal Spa. Royal Spa hot tubs are the only hot tubs on the market that can safely and effectively use Epsom salts. Made right here in Indiana, Royal Spa hot tubs are the highest quality hot tubs on the market. Visit any one of our three Indianapolis locations or visit royalspa.com.
Ah, Royal Spa.
Last night's debate puts us full on into the campaign season. I mean, now we're really running for governor. It was the second debate in 2 days. And last night on Wish TV, it was much more pointed than the day before over there on Fox 59 and CBS. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. Good to be with you. 317-239-9393. I get accused of not giving out the number, so. No, they're probably right. I should give it out. What did I see? What do I think? What do I know? I thought the questions were a little stronger. I thought it had a little more focus to it. I will tell you that it seems to me that the Republican candidates for governor are not as interested as we would all like in addressing issues as directly as we would all like. That seems obvious. I don't quite understand some of the tentativeness. I don't understand the lack of saying, guys, it's about property taxes. What the heck is going on? Here's what we need to do. A real, real disconnect there. And I don't know why this is taking place. What I know is that the plan for Team Chambers, at least, was to go after Mike Braun, who's in the lead. And I think that they were rather effective in that. I do think that they were rather effective in putting Braun on a defensive, and I don't think Braun comes out good on a defensive. He comes across whiny. But one of the questions involved the idea of marijuana. That happened in the debate before. I don't want to, you know, cross the streams there. And the idea of medical marijuana, that was one of the questions that's been asked. There was another question about daylight savings. I mean, that's still coming up. I think that our Republican candidates are very out of touch on the idea of medical marijuana. The idea that we should ask ourselves, do we want weed being smoked in downtown Indy where you walk around and it's all you smell? Oh, we should absolutely ask ourselves that question. I don't want that in the slightest. I don't want it at all. Do I want people with chronic pain not to be able to get relief from chronic pain? Absolutely not. Does medical marijuana help? Absolutely it does. Without even a debate, it does. I'm running. I'm all about medical marijuana. I could have that debate anywhere, anytime. Anytime. I do think it is a miss for these candidates. I think they need to rethink their point of view here. It is an example of a cultural divide. that I do not accept that is it exists because it's the political right. We aren't discussing getting high and driving. We're not discussing the idea that all of a sudden we're down with meth. We're discussing reality. People who have Parkinson's and a host of other things, people who deal with cancer, marijuana is helpful in alleviating pain and alleviating symptoms, allowing them to relax. I shouldn't allow that? What they do in their home? I didn't say on the streets of Indy. There were some misses. I want to use that as an example. Now, who wins and who loses, I will get into that. That will come. We're also, of course, so we have our videos coming out, my interview with all six Republican candidates, and I'm more than happy to sit down with other candidates. We have started talking about the 5th District race. That's a congressional race. Congresswoman Victoria Spartz was on the show yesterday. Candidate Max Ingling is scheduled to be on today. We have Chuck Goodrich, another candidate in the 5th, scheduled. We're reaching out to others right now, getting them on over the course of the month of April. We're going to try our best to talk to more people, hear what they have to say, and let you make the call. Last night, I don't think it was a good night for Mike Braun, and I think he needs to look at that. He is not good at the parry. He doesn't understand that he might not be as popular as his polling. Name ID doesn't mean you're loved. Just for the record. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC, good morning.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Sonny Hostin continues apace, and I have no idea how it is that Black Americans put up with this nonsense every damn day. The bigotry of being told, if you don't think a certain way, you're not really Black. If you think a certain way, well, you see, you're just a puppet. Oh, don't get me wrong. I think that many of us may have experienced this in one way or another. Certainly, I've experienced it with other Jews. You may have experienced it with pick a group. But not many people profit off of it like Sonny Hostin over at The View. When I say she's a racist, I mean she's a racist. And I apologize for nothing. This is a bigot. And she doesn't deserve your respect. How this show stays on the air is remarkable. But, Tony, you're talking about it right now. All right, prove the point. And I have been trying to do much less of that. I'm not sharing all the insanity I see from the MSNBC set. Because what's the point of that? You know how crazed they are. We don't need to be around it. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC, good morning. There is an author by the name of Coleman Hughes, and you might not be familiar with Coleman Hughes, and that's completely fine. His book, The End of Race Politics, Arguments for a Colorblind America, and he goes on The View to talk about this, you're there to sell a book. You want to sell a book, you go where it is you need to go to sell said book. He's on the show and discussing this idea of what he means by colorblind. This is a subject that seems to get people very, very, very upset very often. Because colorblind is the idea that I don't see a race. I always thought that was weird myself. I see people. I know what they look like. I have eyes. I know if they're Black or they're white. I know if they're Asian or Hispanic. And if I don't know, I ask. I know if they're fat or if they're thin. I am aware. I can see them. And the idea that somehow people don't or claim that they don't is super weird. Super, super weird. Well, he's on the show. And Sonny Hostin, who is the same person who wants to tell us this, is now trying to tell Coleman Hughes, you see, you don't understand how you're being used as a puppet. The popcorn moment, let's go, let's go, let's go. It's a story you need to hear to believe. Then grab your popcorn, because as always, there is more. This was Sonny Hostin just the other day talking about Donald Trump.
One character says to another, you know, we took all the things that the Jews had. We took their homes, we took their jewelry, we took all of those things. And now the next step is to dehumanize them, mm-hmm. to make sure that they to show people that they have no soul, that they are not human. And he is using that kind of World War II rhetoric that led to the deaths of the murders of 6 million people. Mm-hmm. And now he is otherizing brown people. He is otherizing black people. He is saying things like this: I don't think you're going to have another election if I don't win, or certainly not an election that's meaningful.
Now, Sonny, if you're going to tell black men that they're not really black and they're just puppets if they don't agree with you, who's otherizing? If you discuss the idea that all Republicans are going to destroy democracy, who's otherizing? You belong to a political party that is clearly calling for a lone wolf. Who is otherizing? But this idea that somehow, because Coleman Hughes doesn't agree with you, that he doesn't understand what's happening. Now, I want to play, but it's not playing. It's killing me. I set all this up not to be able to share it with you. I'm going to make it work. I'm going to figure out a way. You make the argument that he's been co-opted. Here is the quote. Your argument for colorblindness, I think it's something that the right has co-opted. And so many in the black community, if I'm being honest with you, because I want to be, believe that you are being used as a pawn by the right and that you are a charlatan of sorts. That's some of the ugly stuff that the so-called good and decent, we'll call them the woke, say to black men. You see, you have a thought that doesn't fit with what we think the color of your skin should have those thoughts, right? You're this color, therefore you think this. You're this religion, you think that. You're this sexuality, you think the other. And when you don't even understand that you're being used, dummy. I don't know why black men would accept Sonny Hostin calling them dumb. I don't know why anybody who is black would accept Sonny Hostin saying, you can't have any other thought. Here, I know better. You just don't know how you're being abused. Oh, poor you. I'll help you. Is it an attempt at emasculation? Kind of. Is it diminishing someone's accomplishments? Certainly. Certainly. Coleman Hughes spent time at the Manhattan Institute, a contributor to City Journal. Manhattan Institute ain't dumb, kids. City Journal is an incredible, incredible amalgamation of writing. The idea that Sonny Hostin would sit there and say this, and forgive my audio for not playing. I thought I had it. I'll get it. It's this kind of despicableness that goes on all the time. You want racism, it's Sonny Hostin telling a black man, sorry, you think this, but you don't understand that you're just a tool. And I have no idea why, quote unquote, black America puts up with it. It's disgusting stuff. She's a disgusting bigot. Just recognize that. Not because I said so, but because she...
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
I'm seeing stories, news reports that I find completely unsurprising. This one is about how teenagers are trying to get diagnoses for ADHD, attention deficit, hyperactivity disorder. And what they do is, it's not because they want the drugs. No. It's so they can get extra time to take the SAT so they can get a better score. I don't know why. I look at that story and I say, who didn't know that this was coming? Who wasn't aware that this was exactly the way it was going to be? That parents will do anything to get their kids an advantage, and they don't care how they game the system. Wasn't that the whole Felicity Huffman, Lori Loughlin college admission scandal thing? They really didn't know that they were buying their kids' way into a college. They were bribing their way in. That's it. That is nutty. Of course they knew. So the idea that rich kids in New York or other places are getting these, are getting doctors to sign off on this or sign off on that, a diagnosis of this, and therefore you get extra time. And with extra time, you have a chance to do better. I don't know. We've come across a series of these stories. It's like, yeah, well, of course that's what's happening. That is absolutely what's happening. As a matter of fact, how could anybody believe it's anything else? Blows my mind. I find it interesting, though, that kids want extra time for the SATs, considering the number of schools that now don't require the SAT, or have they figured out that this was ridiculous? Have the colleges figured out that, of course, you need an SAT score? Well, see, the problem is SATs are you know, they're racist because it's that standardized testing, and, you know, that's just bigotry. Is that right? Is that right? What about the bar exam? The state of Washington saying that the bar exam is no longer a requirement to practice law because of an impact on what? Marginalized groups. This is going on all over the place. The bar is, quote, minimally effective for ensuring competency. That's no doubt. The bar is not a way to decide. It does not mean that your lawyer is competent. It means they could pass a test. I don't even think you need the bar. I'm in agreement you don't need the bar exam. If I want to put up a shingle and say lawyer, I should be able to say so. Now, I should be clear that I never took the bar. I should be clear I never went to law school. But why can't I be a lawyer? I've read a book. What? The lawyers are going to tell me how that's not okay? Sit down. Nobody's asked you. I'm not interested in being billed for this. I want to practice law. I practice law. I might be a crappy lawyer, but I should be able to do so. Licensing. I mean, that's the argument here. You still want the licensing. You still want the money. You still want the control. You still want to throw people out if they do things you don't like. But the bar exam, that's a problem.
Okay.
And maybe they'll learn that maybe that's a bad idea too. Colleges don't want SATs. People don't want bar exams. No standards whatsoever. But I'm fine with not having a bar exam. I'm fine with people not taking the SAT. But I think you should ask when you hire people, did you take the bar? Did you pass the bar? I think that should be a question you ask. I think caveat emptor is very real. Did you take the SATs? How'd you get into college? Did you have an SAT score? Caveat emptor, buyer beware. And you better beware, because a lot of people are doing a lot of things not to actually do the work to get the reward. Happening everywhere. Tony Katz of 93 WIBC. Good morning.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
My intention is to get this first request processed immediately and start those dollars flowing. Even in these earliest days, there are expenses that can be associated with the design, planning, engineering, other things that need to go into getting that bridge restored. And we will make sure, as the president has directed, that financing and administrative issues are not a barrier to getting that done quickly. We do have resources to get to work right away. If we need more, we will approach Congress and let them know what we think is needed.
But to that point about barriers, do you have a sense of regulations that you will need to try and bypass or go around in order to speed up the process?
I can tell you that we're not going to allow red tape to present any unnecessary barriers to getting this done. Look, this is federal taxpayer money. Obviously, it has to be spent within some very strict checks, balances, and conditions to make sure that it is spent well. But we're not going to allow that to be something that slows down the process. We're just going to hurry up and get it right the first time.
Translation. When it's politically expedient, we don't need no stinking rules. I support rebuilding the bridge. This after the tanker hit the Francis Scott Key Bridge there in Maryland over the Patapsco River. Six people are dead. They're finding people who were trapped in their cars that fell into the water. These construction workers. This story is horror on horror. And how it happened, I think, is a legitimate question. What happened with this cargo ship? Tony Katz, 93 WIBC, good morning. Not just having issues with its propulsion, known issues with the propulsion. This was a ship, the Dali, that was sighted in Chile back in June. Issues related to propulsion and auxiliary machinery. As reported by the Daily Mail, this ship had severe electrical issues while docked in Baltimore. Now, how many ships present an issue and then it gets fixed? How many times has a ship had an issue and then was put out to sea? Oh, by the way, if that number is a lot, what's the importance of actually knowing? And why would anybody take a ship out to sea that has electrical issues? It would seem to me getting stranded in the middle of the Atlantic would suck. And since none of these guys are actually Magellan, I don't know how things would work in being able to sail to your possible port on a cargo ship. You might be able to use a sextant and figure out where you need to go, but I don't know how you're going to hoist the sails on this many tons. The idea that you would set sail with an electrical issue is beyond me. Makes no sense whatsoever. But this ship was known to have issues. There will be a question of what you do in these situations. Well, Tony, if we put to dock every ship that had an electrical issue, nothing would get shipped around the globe. Oh, wait, is that the way it goes? Okay, if that's the way it goes, I think we the people need to know this because we might need to start working on fortifying the bridges that you just hit, which will be another conversation. How in the world was the bridge not fortified? And when I say that, there were no barriers around the main pillars. No extension of concrete, no guardrails, nothing. And this, for a lot of us, is like, just as a conversation, how do we do this? How does this happen? But I go back to Pete Buttigieg. There'll be no red tape. We're going to get this done. Man, wouldn't you love that for your industry? Wouldn't you love that for your life? Wouldn't you love that for your business? That you would be able to run your business without all of the drama. They don't do that for you. They don't allow that for you. I think we need to rebuild the bridge. But first, we need to clean up what's there. You have to do an investigation. You want to do this recovery. I get that. That's going to take a little bit of time. I've seen some people on social media saying, we can't use the rest of the port because of this accident. Yeah, right now. The bridge collapsed in the mouth of the entire port. It's blocking the traffic. You're going to have the boats going and they're going to scrape against the metal of the bridge. And all of a sudden we've got three or four Titanics going. It's like an iceberg. Not everything's a conspiracy. Some things might take a little bit of time. But a little bit of time. And this is where some people might fall into some disagreement. So allow me. I don't want to hear about some fish. I don't want to hear about an environmental anything. An investigation for a certain amount of time, then move the metal and rebuild the bridge and get the port back up and going. Now, you don't need the bridge going to get the port going, right? The bridge doesn't have to be there. You got to get the port up and going. That means clearing out the debris, clearing out the wreckage. And that's got to happen soon. Because as awful as this is, lives and livelihoods are on the line. More lives and livelihoods. You got to get it up and going. If that isn't Pete Buttigieg's first and only mission, then he's as worthless as we know he is. Now, some people have asked, why isn't this his fault? You take a look at what's happened with train derailments, you take a look at what's happened with airplanes, and now this. He's the Secretary of Transportation. Why isn't this on him? Because I don't think he caused the accident. And I don't know if we get to blame him for it. That seems weird to me. But if we're a month from now and this wreckage is still there, that's all him. This can't go on another week. Never mind a month. But don't worry, he's getting rid of the red tape, so I'm sure it's just going to go lickety-split. Love for more red tape to be gone.